Blog Talk Radio.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come humbling ourselves before you and acknowledging that you are the Savior, you are the all-wise God, that no one is more wiser than thee, and no one has a greater creative power that you have shown, Lord God. Therefore, you are omnipotent, you are almighty, there is none greater. Therefore, Lord, we humble ourselves before you this very day, and we ask, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, that God, as we go into the word of God, and Father, as we hear your word, that Lord, that you would not let us take this journey in your word without you accompanying us. Don't let us take this journey in your word without understanding what you're saying. So, Father, I pray that every heart, every ear that is tuned into this broadcast will receive revelation of the things that they have never heard or seen before through your word. We know that your spirit is the true source of this revelation in the name of Jesus. So, Lord God, I thank you for word in my mouth and your glory, and water in the seed as I plant it to bring you glory and honor. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, and Father, I thank you. Amen and amen. God bless every one of you in the name of Jesus. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast, and once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, once again, who has given me the opportunity to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all of you that are listening to the broadcast, and once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. Now, the phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. And for those of you that don't like doing over the air, just contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD2MAN@gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're given to you. Praise be to God. So without further ado, we're going to go into the word today. And once again, the Lord is giving me to before you with another message, which is called the 95th message. Amen. And there are some things that God wants you to know from this 95th message. Amen. This 95th message, Jesus sent it out June the 15th, 1976. Jesus has sent his angel messenger. For those of you who are first-time listeners, the Lord has commissioned me to tell you that he has been sending his angel, the Elijah, the resurrected John the Baptist, as he had promised in Matthew 17 and in Malachi chapter 4, that prophet that he promised in Acts chapter 3, Deuteronomy 18 and 18, amen. And he has been sending him with his words to bring to mankind, to the people of God, and they that will be of the bride, amen. And the Lord has sent him thus far 120 times, the first 30 times to a brother named Brother Otto Fetty, and the next 90 times to a brother named Brother W.A. Draves. Both born-again believers, both have passed on, amen. But the Lord is not through sending his angel, because the work of the Lord is not through, amen. And so therefore, he asked me to come today with what is called the 95th message, being the 95th time that the Lord sent his angel. And once again, we must keep in mind, okay, that angels of the Lord come at appointed time of the Lord. They don't come on, once again, my time or your time, amen, but they come at the appointed time of the Lord. So rest assured, and some of you, you know, constantly hearing me say this, but I must do that, because sometimes we get our thinking wires crossed up. But if an angel of the Lord ever visits you, rest assured God sent him. Rest assured that God knows he's there. And rest assured that angel did not come on his own appointment. Okay? If an angel of the Lord visits you, you don't have to worry about going to God and say, God, you know, I had a visit from one of your angels yesterday. And you ain't got to worry about God saying, really? When did he come? I didn't know he'd come. You don't have to worry about that. Amen? Praise be to God. So, in this 95th message, there are approximately, it's put into verses, 15 verses. And once again, I want to say it to you, as I've said before in dealing with these messages, I'm not saying that I will get to all 15 tonight. I'm going to get to as many as God deal with me to get with, because the Lord wants you to know these things or something from the 95th message, his word. Amen. So the very first verse, and once again, you will hear the angel talk about the Lord. Sometimes you hear the angel say something about himself. Even if he say something about himself, he was given authority from Christ to do that. So remember, once again on that, and I want to add to what I said about the angel before, they come at the appointed time of the Lord, and they say what God has them to say. Amen? They say what God has them to say. Now, in the first verse, the angel of the Lord said, behold, I come to you with a message from the Lord. I come from his presence. I speak his will. Now, some of you that have been listening to me the past, couple of days, few days, when I've been on the broadcast coming from the messages, if you ever notice something that the angel of the Lord constantly says a lot, he either talk about he comes from the presence of the Lord, he either talk about he's coming with a message from the Lord, or he comes, or he talks about I speak his will. The angel of the Lord does not change from that. He doesn't in one message tell you I've come from the presence of the Lord, and in another message he said, well, I just came from directly from the presence of the angels. Now, yes, it's angels in heaven, but he stressed that he come directly from God's presence. That means from God sent him from his presence. Once again, the Elijah wasn't just up there with the angels and say, hey, I think I'll go visit Brother Nate. And then come down here and say, or in other words, this message that he brought to Brother Draves, he didn't say, well, I think I'll go visit W.A. Draves. But see, if he was just in front of the presence of the angels that's talking that and just came on his own, then he wouldn't say, I come from the presence of the Lord. He'll be saying, I come from the presence of angels. Okay, but see, he come directly from the presence of the Lord. Then he said, I speak his will. In other words, the word I'm bringing to you, this is what God chooses to be done or not to be done. You understand what I'm saying? This is his choosing. The Lord's choosing. Okay, and he's pointing us to what we already know concerning the Bible to say, okay, you can see, does it conflict anything that is already written in the Bible? Amen. Because in order for us to dwell safely with Christ, one of the things it has to be about is the will of God. It has to be about God's will and not our will. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is why God in your life personally, you know, and let's be real about it. There are some areas in our life that we say, hey, let the will of the Lord be done, and we submit. But to be honest with you, there have been those other areas where we ain't too quick to say that. Let's be honest about it. And those areas, God is working on us in our lives to become more submissive to his will, okay, in those areas. It's amazing, ain't it? It's just like in some areas, your faith is strong as steel, you know. And then in other areas, your faith may be weak as they said, when we were coming up, weak as ice water, okay? Amen. The weak areas is the areas he's really working on to be strong, because this is the areas where Satan really wants to come and really seeks to gain control over you. Amen. Even in the areas where we say, or we're not quick to say, let your will be done, areas where it got to be all about our will, Satan even comes in that area. Amen. Hallelujah. So the angel of the Lord said, I speak his will. I come from his presence. I come to you with a message from the Lord. The first words he said in that verse were, behold. Behold means to look at this. See. I come to you with a message from the Lord. I want you to see this. I don't want you, and then the other words, the angel said, I don't want you to, quote, see me. Hallelujah. See, that's one of the things wrong with Christianity today. Even when God gives somebody to deliver a message to us, we see the person and not the message. Amen. And I'm talking about when something is legit given from the Lord, from somebody to give to you. And see, that's where we mess up at, because by us looking at the person, we disregard the message or say it ain't true. Now, once again, I'm talking about messages from the Lord that are legit. I ain't talking about just anybody, because some people do make up stuff, okay? But I'm talking about the legit messages. And so the angel says, behold, I come to you. I want you to look, see, I come to you with a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. The next verse he said, he, which he's talking about the Lord, has heard the prayers of the faithful, and with his warm and consoling spirit will comfort and heal every whit, even unto the utmost. Did we hear that? Okay. I wonder, did we really listen to what he said? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He says, first of all, he confirms something. He said, the Lord has heard the prayers of the faithful. Now, think about the faithful. Who is someone faithful? That's someone who's loyal. The faithful is the ones that stick with you through thick and thin. Come the sun shining, or with it raining hard, with thunderstorm cloud, they still with you. God said he hears the prayers of those people. Amen. If you're the type of person that only when the sun is shining, yes, yes, Lord, all on the floor, jumping up, appearing, speaking in tongues and all that, but all of a sudden when they get the thunderstorm in your life, you don't want to talk about Jesus, you don't want to see Jesus, you don't want to pray, you don't want to do nothing, then you ain't the faithful. Okay. Now some of you may get upset. Oh, you judge it, Brother Nate. Well, you can call it what you want to, but you're not the faithful. How can a husband be faithful to his wife if he's married to her and he's going out there winking his eye and hugging up with other women he's seeing, flirting committing adultery with them? How is that faithful? Or how is it being faithful that he's being good and right and kind and devoted to her when everything's going good? But when things become tested in their lives, he got to run and find another woman. How is that faithful? How is it faithful for that wife if she's doing the same thing? Everything's going good. Honey, I love you. I'm devoted to you. This my man. But then when things go bad, she got to look for another man and say, hey, he better than you. Or she's clinging to another man. She's flirting with other men. That's not faithfulness. So the faithful that God said he hears, it's the prayers of those who, through thick and thin, still sticking with the Lord. Whether they speaking about the Lord and everybody receiving it, or they speaking about the Lord and everybody rejecting it, they still standing with the Lord. See, everybody's not being faithful. See, some of us, we clam up and shrink up when people start mocking and making fun of us because we speak something of the Lord. So now we done got to a point, we're so scared that we won't even open our mouth no more. But we're saying we're faithful. That's not faithfulness. Hallelujah. That's not faithful. Glory. You know, I sense the Holy Ghost on that. Thank you, Jesus. Spirit of the Lord, get up a shock. Spirit of the Lord just confirming that to me. See, he let me see. See, some, quote, Christians out there are calling themselves faithful, but when it comes to the testing time, or when it comes to people mocking or making fun, you're shrinking up. In fact, the Lord's name don't even come out your mouth. Some of you are afraid to bring up the Lord's name around certain people. because you can't take them making fun of you. Or you can't take that. You know how my good buddy Jesse is. And Jesse, anytime you bring up the name God, he's going off and letting you know that he's an atheist. And now you're afraid to even give respect to the Lord in front of Jesse, because Jesse grew up together, your good friend, but you know that if you said God to Jesse, then Jesse will fly off the handle and won't speak to you no more, and that's going to devastate you. But you're faithful to the Lord now. Hallelujah. You're faithful. Glory. Hallelujah. He said he has heard the prayers of the faithful, and his warm and consoling or spirit will comfort. See, God's spirit will comfort. Amen. See, sometimes we look for comfort in the wrong thing. Now, don't get me wrong. People can comfort to the best of their ability. And you got, sometimes people look for the comfort of man. And if they don't get the comfort of man, to them, the whole world is over with. And that's not necessarily true. See, the one thing you got to understand about man, man has a place. And his place is never was to be over God. Now, we thank God for those that when you lose a loved one or something tragic or something happened, that you got brothers and sisters that come and they trying to do the best they can to comfort you. We thank God for that. I'm speaking against that. But however, when the smoke clears and everybody goes home from trying to comfort you, physically, in a sense, you're there right by yourself. Okay? And many times, and many of y'all know what I'm talking about, even though people have done their best to try to comfort you, you always seem like, it always seems like it's not enough. Now, once again, I'm not trying to speak negative. I know that many of you understand what I'm talking about. And what is missing is that the comforting of the Spirit of God, you relying upon it. And so many times when we rely upon the comfort of man, and then we come to find out that man can give some comfort, but it always going to bring short of the overall comfort. And the only one that can do the overall comforting is the Lord. Amen. And so he said, and with his warm and consoling spirit will comfort and heal every whit, even unto the utmost. That's to the completeness. Listen, God is into complete healing. I want to say that to somebody that's listening today. So God is not for half healing, okay, but complete healing. Some people haven't been healed completely because their faith is not there in believing God can heal them completely. Even the devil started talking to him and said, well, God may be able to handle it, but he can't do nothing about that other part. And so we listen. We listen to the devil either straightway or through the mouth of other people. And let's give even some what you would call church folk who talks that, well, I think God can do something, but, you know, you got to let the will of the Lord be done. And you know, you may never walk again. You may do this and that. No. He said in the word of the Lord here, with his consoling spirit, he will comfort and heal every whit, not part of whit. Every whit. God wants total healing for you. Complete healing. He wants to heal completely. Degree. Okay. What God is into. Amen. And he has the power, you know, which is activated by faith to do this. But the question is, do you believe? Do you believe? Hallelujah. That would be just like some people say, well, you got high blood pressure. You know, high blood pressure make you feel bad and call this and that. Now, God can kind of, you know, God can stop that, but, you know, you're going to be on the pill for the rest of your life. And then that's not total healing. You understand what I'm saying? Because that's the common thing you hear, especially when you're dealing with high blood pressure. When you first get on there, most of your doctors, now there's some of them that say, hey, if you do this and that, you can get off of it. But many of them tell you, well, doc, how long I got to be on this? He said, they'll say, well, for the rest of your life. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember at age 13, when I was experiencing migraine headaches, I had one time it started off migraine headaches. I used to count them in a day, like, I don't know, 5, 6, or 7 of them. But then it got to a point, it wasn't so many that was coming. It's just when they came, how long it lasts. And I remember at 13 years old, I was in stroke zone. Didn't even know it. My head was hurting so bad, and I got so weak, I'm laying in the bed, and I called my mama. She was at work. She sent this lady over who was like a, I don't know if you want to call it a house nurse or something like that. She had a blood pressure cup, and she checked my blood pressure. She said, baby, you're in stroke zone. I need to get you to the hospital. And so after, you know, having the trouble with the migraines, I end up in the state capital hospital in Jackson. Stayed there a week at the age of, I was about 14 then. And I remember they ran this test on me, put this, what they call this balloon test, went through my leg or something like that and all that, see when my artery wall closed, and it wasn't closed. And then the doctor was talking to me, and he talked to me one-on-one after the surgery and all that. And so I'm sitting in the room, and he says, we don't know. You know, you have any migraine headache. We don't know what, you know, in dealing with your blood pressure going up, you know, why I was doing that, things like that. And so he started telling me, so you're going to have to take these pills, the blood pressure pills. Well, see, I knew my mother. That's how I knew her to be taken when I was growing up. And so I asked the doctor, I said, Doc, well, how long I got to do it? He said, well, you're going to be on this for the rest of your life. Now, I'm not trying to say every doctor's being mean when they say that. They just go by what they know in the medical field. But what I'm saying is that God, by our faith in him, can heal you every whit. God can heal you completely of high blood pressure. He can heal you completely of diabetes. He can heal you completely of any sickness or any disease. And he lets us know in his word, that's his goal. His goal is to heal everyone. Once again, God, it's not God's goal to give you a partial healing. Okay? If you end up with a partial healing, then my advice is you check you. Because maybe somewhere along the line, your faith just stopped. Okay? Because God is not into partial healing. He's into complete healing. Amen? Praise be to God. Glory to God. Thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, next verse he says, those of your loved ones and those the Lord will give you and all now with you will be a mighty force to sin and to take the world, the words I bring, the word of the Lord, the book, even to the ends of the earth. Now, God says unto those who have the word of the Lord Jesus Christ through his angel messenger, he said, those are your loved ones. Those, they're going to be those of your loved ones. He said, they're going to be those that the Lord will give unto you. And even those that are with you now, it's going to be a mighty force to take this message. Because, see, God wants everybody to know about this message. He wants every nation to know that he's been sending the Elijah with his word. He wants them all to know. He didn't tell the people, say, listen, those of y'all in church, Christ Elijah's message, keep it to yourselves. Well, then we'll be turned to a cult then, okay? God ain't raising no cult, okay? But here's the thing, and I see in this verse here. First off, he said, those of your loved ones. You know, we're glad when God saves people, get people, touch people that they receive this message, this work. But doesn't it make your joy especially overflowing when you find out that your loved ones get saved and that your loved ones hear this word? Amen? Doesn't that bring tremendous joy to your heart? Listen, think about that saved husband. To see that his wife and his children get saved and receive the word of the Lord, can you imagine how much joy that brings to his heart? Just like that wife, same scenario. She see her husband get saved and her children get saved. Do you know how much joy that brings? And so he said, those of your loved ones. Listen, for those of you that's listening, okay, see, some of your loved ones are going to get saved. And some of your loved ones are going to hear this word right here. Amen. Now, God didn't specifically say those, you know, of your loved ones, your dad, your mom. He didn't say specifically who it is. But rest assured, it's going to happen. Get your joy ready. Hallelujah. Get your heart ready. And sometimes, here's the thing about it. Sometimes those who go of your loved ones get saved, you really think about it. Coming to this position of hearing it. They might have been the ones that were cussing you out all the time. Every time you talk about Jesus, they're cutting you off. Then, but you look at that other loved one who always was saying a kind word to you, you thinking, surely they're going to be the one. But sometimes they don't come out like that. Sometimes they come like a surprise. Remember Gomer Powell? When he said surprise, surprise, sometimes come out as a surprise. Hallelujah. See, God isn't surprising me. That's why I tell God, God, keep me in awe about you. I want you to do stuff to make my mouth fly over and say, oh, my God. Okay. I don't want to get to a point like I get used to God, because then you'll start taking on the wrong attitude. Oh, yeah, he, you know. I want God to keep me just, oh, my God. You know, that's what I want. Amen. Praise be to God. So, and then he said, and those the Lord will give you. God is going to give you some people. Hallelujah. Amen. Get ready. Get ready. Someone like, quote, come out of the blue. I'm going to say, I stand with you in this work. I stand with you in this word. I stand with you defending Jesus. You're going to look around and say, okay, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And he said, all now with you will be a mighty force. See, there are some that already have received his word. They're just standing strong. Thank God for them. You know, I thank God for the late Brother Clark, him and his wife, Sister Christine Clark. Thank God for him. If I needed someone, another Christian brother or sister, to stand with me on the front line to proclaim the word of the Lord Jesus through his angel messenger, definitely they would be, okay, because I knew. I knew from the time I met them, from the time I listened to him afterward, you could not shake him in his faith about the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. You couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. I'm sorry. You couldn't get him to go back and say, well, you know what? I guess Jesus is not sending an angel. I got it wrong. No. He knew in his spirit that this work was true. You get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. That's why you want people that know that they know that they know to stand with you when it comes to Christ. You don't want nobody going, I'm not sure. I don't know. Okay. Be on the battlefield with those kind of folks. And while they sitting there, I'm not sure, and you need to shoot the enemy and they holding the gun, you looking at them and say, man, shoot. Okay. shoot at the enemy. And they stand up there, I don't know. Not going to work. Not going to work. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, next verse, the angel of the Lord said, the Lord has used many in every clime and nation to bring about this great work, preparing the way that all Christendom shall flow together. Now, God uses, once again, we talked about this before, God is not prejudiced. He's not a discriminatory person, okay? And he uses men in every clime, every climate, every nation. He uses men, whether they live in the coldest part or one of the coldest parts of the earth to the one of the hottest part, he using them. He's not saying, well, I can't use you because, well, you stay in it's too cold. Or where you stay in it's too hot. Or it's just too warm where you at. Or too many tornadoes happen where you. No, God, it's not like that. Any heart, no matter what gender, color, race you are, that is willing to say, Lord, use me. God said, okay, I can use you. Amen. Hallelujah. But he also declared in you what's one of the ultimate goals of the plan of God to be fulfilled. He says, preparing the way that all Christendom, not some Christendom. See, if he just said some Christendom, then you could say, well, Lord, who is it that claiming to be a Christian that you don't want floating with you with together? But he said that all Christendom may flow together. People, this is the message we need to hear. Christianity right now is not truly one. Now, some of y'all may beg to differ and say, you're wrong, Brother Nate, because we all serve the same God. Okay, that's the phrase that many of them throws up, say, well, we all serve the same God. But yes, that don't mean we all together. We all together. We're supposed to be one church, one body. But we acting like we're a bunch of bodies. Christ only has one body. Just like you literally got one body. Now, you come around telling people, well, I got more than one body, then sum up. Now, there's your spirit, man. But I'm talking about fleshly-wise, you got one body. And your brain has the authority over that one body. Your brain doesn't tell somebody else's body what to do. Okay? It don't do that. Hallelujah. Your brain tells your hand, feet, whatever what to do. It tells what to do. Your brain doesn't tell my hand or feet what to do. It don't do that. And see, God, in his ultimate fulfilling of his plan, is to get Christianity to flow together. That's when that's the final tying knot, and Christianity flow together, then he's coming back. See, right now, you know, many of us are saying, well, he can come back at any time. To what? What is he coming back to? Well, he's coming back to us and the Christians that believe. Okay, so you're telling me he's coming back for a separated bunch of folks. Do you know how much contention it is when you try to draft in a separated bunch of people? Because some of them say, well, hey, you know, I don't believe like they do. If we can't be fully one down here on earth, when we see each other, how are we going to be one up there in heaven? And we can't be one down here. Remember, those that are born again, we are in God's kingdom. The extension of his kingdom is right here on earth. So if we can't be one right here in his kingdom set up here on earth, how are we going to be one in the heavenly kingdom up there? That's just like if somebody down here on earth don't want to accept the Lord, don't want to obey the Lord, don't want to submit the Lord, what is he going to be doing trying to go to heaven? Because that's what they're doing up there. They obeying, submitting, okay? Spiritually speaking, he wouldn't fit up there. That would be just like bringing the devil back to heaven and let him walk up there. And you know, ain't no peace going to be going on in heaven if the devil come back up there and dwell up there in the third heaven. You understand what I'm saying? So, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Now, in the next verse, and this next verse is very interesting. Because in this next verse, God throws some questions up. And this is what he said in verse next verse. He said, who will go? Who shall I send? Say the Lord. Run. Speak again to the man, even to him of a contrite spirit, who is humble before me. Israel shall be gathered, and Zion redeemed and established. Did you hear that? The question God asked, two questions in that verse, he said, who will go? Who shall I send? Now, when God asks a question like that, he's looking for somebody to answer, say, here I am, Lord. And yet, remember when you were growing up and the teacher asked a question, who wants to come up here and write on the chalkboard and write this problem down? And you, Moses declared, wouldn't hold their hand. You had a few, especially the few that was real smart. They didn't mind running up there to the board. You know, and some of them sometimes would like to run up there because they want to show off, quote, how smart they are. But, you know, many of us, we just sat back there. We didn't raise our hand. And so when the teacher said, who wants to come up here to the board and work this problem out? We'll just sit there. And then sometimes the teacher would get upset when nobody raised their hand. Oh, none of y'all. Okay, so y'all want to, well, if y'all don't want to volunteer, I'm going to select somebody. Okay? Listen, people. If God can't get his own people to volunteer, yeah, glory, he will raise up a people. Do you hear what I'm saying? Hallelujah. See, he ain't about shot. See, we back in the trenches and hiding. Now, anybody tell us about getting 25, 30 hours overtime that we can get that brand new house, we up in there running. If they on the job say, Who wants to work 20, 25 hours over? Many of us will throw our hands up. Put your rocks down. No, you want to throw your rocks down. Put your rocks down. But many of us will throw our hands up. But when God asks a question, who will go?
Who shall I send? Ain't too many hands going up there. Ain't too many hands going up there. And if God can't get those who call his own to volunteer, to say, yes, Lord, here am I, send me. God said, okay, I'll raise up a people who I can call my own who would do it. See, whether you believe it or not, some of the vilest sinners, when they get saved, they're going to be okay. That's why some of the people already in the church right now, they are upset at some of the ones who just come to the Lord. Why? Because they got such a zeal and on fire for God that they're making the ones who already been in the church 10, 15, 20 years shame. Why? Because they're seeing how they just been sitting down all those years, not wanting to do nothing for the Lord. And this person that got saved, who was one of the most violent sinners, got saved and on fire and said, hey, Lord, just send me anywhere. I want to go. I want to tell them about you. And why those 10 and 15 and 20 year person sitting right up in the church and up there growling and got frowns in their head and front of their forehead said, he just trying to show up. No, he ain't trying to show up. You just getting showed up. That's all it is. Amen. And Lord said, who would go? Who should I send? That's why I got great respect for the missionaries that's going into the other countries right now. Amen. We left family. Some of them, their life is on the line. Amen. Even though their reward in heaven is going to be outstandingly great. Life, and they said, Lord, here am I, send me. And the Lord said, okay, go. Glory. I got respect for them. Great respect. Great respect. Hallelujah. And then he goes on to say, run, speak again to the man, even to him of a contrite spirit. God said, speak to him who is humble before me. God said, he need to hear this word. Amen. There are some Christians out there who are truly humble in the spirit. I got a chance to meet Brother Draves, one of the ones the angel came to. I got a chance to meet him for about 4 years. He passed in 1994. I first met him the first year I got saved, and I came to the church in 1990, saw him at the assembly. This to this day, and I'm not saying ain't nobody else humble as him or more humble, but that was the most humble man I have to say personally that I have ever met. I got to say that personally. I can't remember meeting one as humble as he was. Wow. You know, and we got a chance to go over to his house where the angel visited him at and bringing the message. Boy, you just sense the peace and the presence and power of God in that house. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord goes on to say, Israel shall be gathered and Zion redeemed and established. Israel going to be gathered. First, the natural Israel, when they come fully to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior, but many of those of the Jews, because here's the thing, and I'm not trying to be funny when I say this, that you got many of your big-time televangelists, like, for example, the Jews being part of the house of Israel. If you listen to them, the Jews are automatically going to heaven, and they're the ones that crucified the Messiah. But people like me and you had to receive Jesus now to get saved to go to heaven, but they don't have to. And you listen to a lot of these televangelists, you listen to them, you're like, man, I wonder why they ain't got to receive Jesus. Didn't they crucify the Messiah? But God said Israel going to be gathered. They're going to be gathered to the place that God promised them. And the spiritual Israel, spoken of in Romans 9, the people that are born again, they're going to be gathered together. He said, and Zion redeemed and established. See, Zion, America, when she's cleansed, that's what Zion going to be, okay? She's going to be redeemed and set up in the way of the Lord. Hallelujah. She's going to walk in the redemptive power of Christ. Right now, she's looking rough, okay? Passing laws, and like she's telling the Lord, say, you got to take it. And God just let her know, say, okay, well, we're going to see who got to take what, okay? When all this other stuff keeps hitting you, just like these storms and hurricanes and these famines and the economy. God said, we're going to see who got to take it. Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, next verse he said, I will put my spirit upon him. Well, upon who? Okay. The ones that are willing to go, run with the word. And God said, and it shall be upon all those that hear and obey this. The promise of the Lord's spirit of being upon you. You know, the Bible tells us about the dual working of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The dual working of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost where he works within you, and the Holy Ghost when he works when he come upon you. Now, when he works within us, it helps us to bear fruit. Okay. When he works within us, it helps us to receive Christ as Lord and receive salvation. Now, when the Holy Ghost come upon you, that's power. Remember what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come where? Within you? No, upon you. Upon you. Okay? Hallelujah. What kind of power? Witnessing power. You saw what happened in the book of Acts in chapter 2. Spirit of the Lord came upon them. They had that witnessing power that when they opened their mouth and spoke, all the people that's around that was of different languages heard them in their own language. That's power, people. And here we are in the church today. We think we just all together there. And the book of Acts church put us to shame. Man, they operated in such a great power. We think some of this little stuff we're doing today, that's just it. No, that ain't just it. That's why there's a greater power that God is going to unleash. Amen. It's going to be a greater power. Glory to God. So God said in this verse, he said, I will put my spirit upon them and it shall be upon all those that hear and obey this way. He said, as you swing wide the gate, let my people come. Don't get in the way. Don't hinder. As you give this word out, as you let them know by the Spirit of the Lord the way to come, God said, don't hinder them. Okay? Let them come. Get out the way. Move. Okay? Hallelujah. Amen. Let them come this way. Don't hinder them. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He goes on to say, he that is filled of this message and calling, let him thrust in the sickle and reap, say the Lord. Filled with this message and calling. God wants his people filled with this message and calling. Hallelujah. When you get full of something, that's when it has a total rulership within you. Okay? Hallelujah. And see, we're supposed to be, you know, it's just like on the broadcast. We're going forth in faith when we proclaim this to you that's listening, to those of you that haven't heard it, don't know about it. We're going in faith, believing God. Because God told us this. We're not going by feeling. Listen, if we just go by feelings, there were many instances where we probably would have stopped this a long time ago. You know, just stop talking about Jesus sending the Elijah. Why? Because everybody, you know, here on Blog Talk Radio, it gives you a certain statistic. And sometimes it gives you some statistics about people that is listening. And they give you the number. Well, see, there were many times that there was a number zero up there. We stayed on by what we felt when we talking about the sending of the Elijah, then hey, we wouldn't be doing it by faith. And we wouldn't reap the rewards of it, amen, as we went by faith. Praise be to God. Now, I want to read one more verse here. And he says, let the translating into other languages continue, reaching all nations as fast as it can be done. Now, I don't know how many more times God got to stress on that he wants everybody to know this word. I don't know how many different ways he got to say it. But you know what? The ways that I read that he said is enough for me. Okay? God wants everybody to know. Like I said, people in the Church of Christ Elijah message that have received this message, God didn't tell them, say, keep this to yourself. Don't tell anyone. Now, we did all that. We soon going to become a cult. But Jesus want all. That's like, that. For example, Jesus want all to know the gospel. Okay? He wants everybody to know the gospel. Why do you think when people get saved and they're growing in the Lord, he said, now go tell my gospel to all nations. Why don't he just tell the Christian, you're a Christian, keep it to yourself, don't tell nobody. Because it's the love that he has for mankind. See, God doesn't want nobody lost. He don't want nobody going to hell. Are there people that's going to and there people that have? Yep. Why? Because they chose. They're choosing. You know, and God is given opportunity. But they chose. God said, okay. Amen. He wants this translation done. He want this word translated in other languages, people. Amen. He wants others to know about it. Thank God for the blessed word. Thank God for the blessed word. You know, I thank the Lord that, once again, many of you that hear me is talking about Jesus sending the Elijah. This is not just talk, people. Like I said, the Lord had witnessed to me in my spirit, dealt with me in the word, and he has showed me that this is true. Like I said, just like many other churches have splits, hey, the Church of Christ, Elijah Message, we didn't have splits. We didn't have splits since I've been in the church now, since 1994, okay? If I've never got a witness from the Lord and really know in my spirit that this work is true, I would have did like a lot of other people. I would have said, man, forget this. All this fussing, arguing, and separation, shoot. And then the next thing I would have said, God ain't sending no angel. Because you notice that when stuff don't appear to be right before us, you know, we act like we want to take it out on Jesus and say, oh, what Jesus said ain't true, or what he is sending is not true. Amen. That's what we do. That's just like when people get mad at the church folk. Somebody get mad at the church folk. What do they do? What many of them do? They either go to another church, or if they didn't like how the church folks, let's say if they got saved, joined the church, grandma going to the church, but all of a sudden there was something the church did grandma wrong, and grandma just quit and said, I done left the church, and I ain't coming back no more. Well, the same ones that look at how grandma done, they get mad at the church and say, man, I'm leaving the church. And many times they all together quit communicating with the Lord, as if they're punishing God for what other people have done. You know, you heard people say, you know, I used to believe in Pastor so-and-so, but I found out he was a womanizer, and he's a money-hungry person. And so because they are disappointed of what they've seen at Pastor so-and-so, they just quit communing with God. They quit studying the word. So when you talk to them, they say, well, now, you know, they quit coming to service and all that. Now, I just keep to myself. Well, if keeping to yourself was going to save you, then there was no need of you accepting Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't let the devil fool you. Is there people out there doing stuff and got no business? Sure it is. Are there leaders doing that? Sure it is. But even if you come across them, don't let that destroy your communion with God. Because no one is that important or worth your communion to be destroyed with God. Ain't nobody that important. I'm sorry, I don't care who it is. From your wife to your husband, ain't nobody that important. Okay? That you thought they, quote, and that's what sometimes we get into the danger too, thought they would not do anything wrong. You saw them doing some stuff wrong. You badly disappointed. And now you're not just mad at them now. You just stopped communion with God. Listen, you killing yourself. You cutting your own support line off. I'd rather stop fooling with them than stop fooling with God. You understand what I'm saying? And so we get the thing messed up and all, you know, twisted and all this stuff, and just, oh my God, just get all out the way. So he said, let the message be translated in other languages as fast as it can be done. That's what God said. Because why? He wants everybody to know about this. He wants everybody to know. Amen. He wants everybody to know that he's been sending the Elijah. He wants everybody to know that, you know, he's been sending him with instruction. God wants everybody to know that. Amen. Hallelujah. Whether they accept it or not, he wants them to know. So even on the day of judgment, even if they don't accept it, when they go to the blah, 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 blah at the mouth, God said, well, you know what? And God take them back down to memory. Remember my servant came and told you about what I was doing? And boom, it's right there. And they looking, oh, you ain't got nothing to say now. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of thy precious son, Jesus Christ, for your word, your spirit, and power of the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Lord, that you brought us to the end of another broadcast, but it's not the end of your word. And therefore, Lord God, we are grateful today for your spirit to be with us. We thank you for keeping us and watching over us as you have done. Father, I pray that everyone that was tuned into this broadcast, even the new listeners, be touched by the spirit of God. I pray that as they seek your face even the more, and their desire to know your word, that you have revealed it unto them. So, Lord, I'm very grateful for this day that you made and created. And I give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for all of you that's been listening. And don't forget, the Lord said the same tomorrow night. We have another broadcast. Look for the advertisement. It should be at 7 o'clock p.m. Praise be to God. So, thank God for all of you. God loves you. I love you. God bless you, and I bless you. In the name of Jesus Christ, continue to have a blessed day in the Lord. Goodbye for now. God bless.
Give it back to you. You gave me my husband, you know I love him. And now I'll give him back so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy. Yeah, when I finally stop breathing, yeah. King on the throne. Hold up, wait a minute. Gold streets, gold mansion. Just because I look gone with a passion. Can't get you when it gets, but if you're asking, he'll give you that like, can you imagine?